appreciate all of our those who lead us in worship and those who are part of our family ministry team that work with our students and our children. It's great to see more and more children in the church. And we had, as you said, got a baby here today. So we're just continuing to just grow the church every way we can. So delightful to see so many babies and children here. And this morning, I want to encourage you today. I hope that you're going to be encouraged this morning. Jody's going to help me out a little bit with this in just a little while. And we've already had some music today, but you're going to have a little bit more music as we think about the sufficiency of God's grace. And last week, we kind of piggybacked off of Easter. And the topic last Sunday was basically, what is God doing right here, right now? What is Jesus doing right here, right now? We talk about the resurrection, and we talk about His return to glory, but what does that mean for us? And so if you weren't here last Sunday, or if you missed that message, it's a great look at how the resurrection impacts our lives today. And that the same powerful God, the same power that God used to raise Jesus from the grave, that we can tap into that power and we can experience God's power in our daily living. So that caused me to begin reflecting on God's might and the greatness of God and the goodness of God and our need before Him. And so I want to come to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And this is a passage we've even touched on or alluded to in the past, but I just want to come and hit some highlights for you today and give you some things that I think will encourage you, because you know what? We all need encouragement, and we all are hit with the battles of life and the struggles of life, and it can be easy to take your eyes off of everything that God is doing and all of God's blessings, and we can just get discouraged, and we can struggle. And so God recognizes that, and God wants to give us strength and encouragement through His Holy Spirit and through His Word. So we're going to turn to His Word today as we look at, once again, God's power. Now, I will tell you guys this funny fact here. I looked for about 20 minutes for my wedding ring this morning, and I wish I could say I never lose anything, but I would lose my head if it was not attached to my body, okay? And I just have this habit of leaving things. Most Sundays, if I make it up here and I have my Bible in my hand, that's a win. You know, sometimes I have to trace my steps and go back and find where I put it down. But this morning, I knew I had my ring on last night, and I thought I think I remember taking it off, but I couldn't find, I have certain places. Somebody's going to be like, well, if you'd put it in the same place every time, then you'll know where it is. Well, I take it off at different times of the day, but it's always prompted by something. And so I have certain areas where I tend to leave it. And I went and I checked every one of those areas. I started beside the bed. I thought maybe I took it off during the night. And so I checked my nightstand there, and it wasn't there. I have a little shelf in our room, and I checked that little shelf in our room. Sometimes I put it on the mantle. I'm giving you way more information than you need to know. But sometimes I put it on the mantle, so I went to the mantle, and it wasn't there. Sometimes I wash my hands in the bathroom, and I lay it over here to dry. Went over there and checked over there, and in that spot in the bathroom, it wasn't there. Checked the kitchen. We have a little shelf as we enter in where I drop my keys and sometimes my wallet, and I sometimes put my ring there. Went and checked there. So you guys know now, if anybody wants to steal my valuable plastic ring, you'll know exactly where it is when it's not on my finger. So we left the house, and I told Christy, I said, I don't have my ring. I feel like I'm just, might as well not have clothes on in there if I don't have my ring on. Feel unclothed, and it's a concern, you know. When you're just such a fine specimen like myself, you want everybody to know you're taken. Okay, so that's why it was such a concern, And my kids right now are like, Dad, I can't believe it. At least Mom's not in here to hear this. She's back with the kids. So I even checked my pockets. But what do you know? I reached down into my pocket just a moment ago, and there was my ring in my pocket. Praise the Lord. Now, why am I telling you all of that? Because God's grace and God's presence, His power in our life, is something that maybe you just feel is elusive. Maybe you feel like it, you should experience it, but you don't seem like you do, or you don't feel like you are. But you know what? God's power. If you're a believer, if you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, then you are born again, and you are a child of the Almighty God. And you're an heir to the throne of grace, he tells us. And so you may feel distant from God. You may feel like you look at your life and you think, well, God doesn't see what's going on. But you know what? I'm glad that our faith is not driven by how we feel, okay? It's determined by the facts of what Christ has done and who we are. And so when we turn to Scripture, he gives us insight, and he gives us understanding to our relationship with him and his presence in our life. And so just like me looking around for my wedding ring, maybe you feel like you're just looking around and you're trying to find some meaning, or you're trying to find some purpose, you're trying to find strength, and it's like, maybe I'm looking in the wrong places. And it's not by accident that God has you here today. And it's not by accident that God's working in your heart. And he's causing these thoughts and these feelings to stir within, because he, as we seek him, he is closer than you could ever imagine. And if you're a believer, he is with you, and he will never leave you and never forsake you. So let's keep that in mind as we look at God's grace today. You may have heard this, I've even said it before, that God's grace is basically God's unmerited favor in your life. You and I, we don't do anything to deserve this. It's God's relationship with us. And it's an overflow out of the character and the nature of God. That God is love. And that God's made his love evident to us. And in that, even while we were sinners, Jesus died for us. And so he's not waiting on you to prove yourself to show his grace. Another acrostic that sometimes is used for grace, and I've mentioned this before too, but it's this, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. You may have heard that before as well, or you may not have, but it's good to lock into that. It's God's riches, the fullness of God at Christ's expense. I didn't pay for it. Jesus paid for it. He paid the debt of our sin. So let's look at three components of God's grace today, and we're going to read this passage, and then we're going to see how these things are shown in this passage. So Paul is talking about, he's comparing his credentials to the credentials of some false teachers. And so in chapter 11, he's talking about just, you know, all his accomplishments, and then about how all of that, is basically that everything he's done for the Lord, and then farther back does give his credentials, his Jewish credentials, but he says, all of that, I'm not going to brag about any of that. I kind of like how he does this. He's like, I'm not going to brag, but if I were going to brag, then this is what I'd brag about. And I was like, I like that, Paul. It was good. And so he gives all his credentials, and he's basically setting himself up against these false teachers to show that he is the real deal, and that he is not just talking the talk, but he walks the walk. But then he says, all of these things, really, if I'm going to brag about anything, it's my weakness. It's my need. It's my lack of things that I'll brag about. Why? Because God demonstrates his grace in my life. And so I really don't want the attention. I want to put the attention on God where it rightfully belongs. So we're going to pick up right here in verse let's just say, verse 6, chapter 12, verse 6. He says, even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. I mean, that's what I was talking about. It's like, you know, I mean, it's not bragging if you can back it up. I guess that's where that comes from. He says, but I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. So he says, God's given me these revelations, and he's allowed me to experience these things, and you know, I could brag about all that, but I'm not going to, because it's really not about me, it's about God. Now, therefore, verse 7, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. I got to confess, that's not always my attitude. That, if you're not convicted by that, then you're doing much better than me. Because what does he says, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness. Now, we live in this American culture where we're all like John Wayne, you know, and we don't like to say that we have a need. We don't like to admit to not knowing anything, you know, and it's a problem. It affects how we live and how we interact with others and our walk with God. But, you know, ask yourself this morning, he's kind of giving us this challenge. How do I handle weaknesses? How do I handle when I don't know something? Do I feel like I have to know it all? Like I have to have it all together? How do I interact with other people? I got to say, you know, sometimes I feel like, well, I just know it all. If everybody would just listen to me and do what I tell them to do, everybody's life would be so much easier. It's hard not to have that attitude. So he says, I delight in weakness, in insults. Have you had anybody insult you recently? I have. I have somebody that I feel like is giving me the cold shoulder over something, and I feel like I have a right to be heard. I feel insulted. It's like, do you not know who I am? No, I don't feel that way. But still, it's like, look, you owe me this. Well, how do we respond? He says, I delight. That's a challenging word there for me. I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships. Do you ever question, why is life so hard? Why couldn't things be a little easier? We all have hardships. And Paul here is saying, he does not get bent out of shape. If I was writing this, I probably would have to be saying, you know what? Sometimes I get bent out of shape when I face hardship. I question God. God, why is life such a struggle? If people insult me, if I'm having difficulties. And then Paul, he gives this clinching statement, for when I am weak, then I am strong. What does that even mean? No, when I am weak, I'm weak. It's an oxymoron here. But I do get an image in my mind where Obi-Wan Kenobi says, strike me down. Has anybody ever seen this movie or you know what I'm about to say? What does he say? Strike me down and what? I will become more powerful. So I feel a little sense of that here. That's Paul saying, you know what? These weaknesses, keep them coming. They make me stronger. Another great movie, not to digress too much, but when somebody's pounding you on the face and you say, not so bad, is that all you got? Come on. Who knows a movie? Hey, thank you, Jason. I knew I could count on you. It's like, ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Come on, pound away. You're not so bad, devil. Bring it. Bring it. I'm ready. Paul says, I delight in my weaknesses because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Well, how does he so confident? Because he has Christ in him. And it's not his strength, it's God's strength. So we're gonna jump into this passage, especially verse 9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So there's three things I want to give you here. And Jody's going to help me, because I want you to feel this today. Not just hear it, not just see it, but I want us to be moved by this today. So the first thing we've got to consider is the source of grace. The source of grace. Jody, can you help us out with this? So, whose grace are we talking about? What's the source of the grace? It's God's grace. The God's grace. Now, we must gain a proper understanding of God. There's a lot of talk in our culture today that goes like this. Well, doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you're sincere and you have faith in God, we're all the same. That is not true. I'm going to tell you very clearly, the God of Islam is not the God of the Bible. The Jesus of Islam is not the Jesus of the Bible. It's not the real, authentic Jesus that is taught. It's great grammar there, I know. But we've got to gain a proper understanding of God and of Jesus and the nature of God. And listen, it might be the same person that's being referenced, but it's not at all the same understanding and the same identity. Because Jesus was born of a virgin, lived a perfect sinless life. He came in the flesh and He gave His life for us. He sacrificed His life to make atonement for our sins. And He was dead, buried, and resurrected to life. And He is King of kings, Lord of lords. He is God. So we have to have proper understanding about God, the nature of God. When we have a proper understanding about who God is and the source of the grace, the source of the life, the source of the power that we're talking about, then that is life-changing. And it grabs hold of our life. And we're going to talk more about that in just a moment. But listen, just because someone says, I love God, or I love Jesus, that doesn't mean they have the same understanding that you and I have. That doesn't mean that their understanding of Jesus is based upon Scripture and reality and truth. Because a lot of people have an idea of what Jesus is like, or what they feel like Jesus is, and it does not measure up, it does not align with what God says in His Word. But the more we know about the source of God's grace, the more we study and learn and apply ourselves and realize the nature of God, then the more we're impacted in our daily living, the more understanding we have about the significance of God's grace in our life. God's great, wonderful, marvelous grace. He is the everlasting God. He is the ruler of the universe. He is Jehovah, the great I am, the almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing. He's God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He is the mighty God. He is the Lord, eternal. He is the almighty God, Yahweh. He is our creator, our redeemer. He is our everlasting help in times of trouble. He is King eternal. He is the great I am. He is Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer, the Son of Man, the Messiah. He's all these things and so much more. So we've got to realize that this grace we're talking about, it's not just a feeling. It is something that we are recipients of that is given to us and bestowed upon us by God, the God of the universe. And so the first thing, the source of God's grace, the source of grace is God, eternal. Second thing is this, the sufficiency of grace. He says, my grace. So why do I say we got to know where it comes from? Because he says right here, my grace. He doesn't say grace is sufficient for you, Paul. He says, my grace is sufficient. So this is the everlasting talking, the great I am. He says, it's my grace that we're talking about. So, it is sufficient for you. Now, the sufficiency of grace. So, the first thing is the source of grace. Second thing is the sufficiency of grace. How is it sufficient? In its three ways that it is sufficient that we see here. In its supply. God's grace is sufficient in its supply. He's never going to run out. You're never going to go to God and He says, well, you know what? Sorry. I just doled out the last of my grace. Come back and see me tomorrow. I'm done for the day. You got too much for me that I can handle today. So there's a sufficiency of supply. God's grace is sufficient, He says. And you can tap into that today. He's not going to turn you away. Now, He's never going to run out. It is sufficient in its supply. In our lives, it is sufficient in its spread. These all start with S. You guys are going to love this. Sufficient in its spread. In other words, God's grace is sufficient to cover your every need in every area of your life. He doesn't just save us in part. He doesn't just relate to us in those areas of our life where we please Him. His grace covers it all. Because we have been clothed with Christ, okay? And so sometimes we feel like we have to hide things from God. But He knows it all, and He loves us even so. And His grace spreads over our entire lives. Even the dumb things that we do, even the mistakes that we make, God's grace is sufficient. So it is sufficient in supply. It is sufficient in its spread out of our whole lives. Supply means it's deep. Spread means it's wide. God's grace is deep and wide. Like we sing with the children, right? And so there's a depth there. There's a transcendence there that transcends all of our needs, all of our earthly shortcomings. Its supply, its spread, finally, it is sufficient in its strength. God's grace is powerful, it's strong, it's sufficient in its strength, its efficacy, theologians would say. In other words, God saves us through and through. When you come to Christ, you repent of your sins, you turn to Jesus, and you trust Him as your Lord and Savior, then His grace is sufficient in that it is powerful. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of salvation. And God doesn't save just a little bit of us. He saves all of us. Every bit of us. The good, the bad, the ugly. God takes it all. And He redeems us. So the strength of His grace is, well, let's just put it this way. It'll never lose its power. His grace will never lose its power. Lock into this. Power, His strength, His grace is just as sufficient on Monday as it is on Sunday. And we have got to acknowledge that, and we've got to live in light of that. Some of us, we just, you know, when things, circumstances are good, life is good, we're rolling right along. But then as soon as the first thing happens that takes the wind out of our sail, we just feel like the world is falling apart. Like the sky is falling. His strength, His power, His blood is sufficient. Now, it saves us through and through. It will never lose its power. You know, the verses, I don't know how well you know these hymns, but, you know, it reaches to the highest mountains, flows to the lowest valley. You might be on a mountaintop today. Even then, we don't need to have pride, and we need to humble ourselves, realize that we're dependent upon God and Jesus and His blood that was shed for us. But then maybe you're in the valley, and even there, in the depth of despair, God shines His light on your life and in our hearts. So I love, too, how He says in that lyric, it soothes my doubts, calms my fears, takes away my tears. You know, you're going to have tears. Some people, I believe, on the outside think, well, Christians, they have it just perfect. They don't have any problems. You're going to shed tears. You're going to have more problems as a Christian than maybe you did before you came to Jesus, because the enemy's now right on you. Okay? But He will wipe away our tears. And one day, He's going to wipe away every tear. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more pain. And we have a deposit of that in our life today. So how do we receive this? This is the third component of God's grace that we're looking at today. The source of grace, He says, my grace. The sufficiency of grace. It's sufficient in its supply, in its spread, in its strength. Now, how do we obtain this? He says, my power is made perfect in weakness, the supplication of grace. I know you guys were trying to figure out where I was going to go there. What starts with S that we could possibly draw from this? The supplication of grace. Now, some of y'all think I'm crazy, but what does supplication mean? It is a humble, submissive appeal for help. Okay? So to make supplication to someone means that you're begging, you're sincere, you're heartfelt, making petition. You're acknowledging your weakness. And so he says that my power is made perfect in weakness. He's like, my power, his power's perfect with or without us, okay? But basically the way that you and I could understand this is my power is perfectly displayed in your weakness. That would be one way that you and I could sort of lock into the meaning here. My power is perfectly displayed. It's made complete, okay? In other words, I demonstrate my power, the fullness of my power in your weakness. It is the ultimate demonstration of his power. It's made complete in our weakness. Now, I was thinking, sometimes in life, we just are drowning. We just feel like the pressures of this world, the troubles of life, they're coming against us and we're drowning. And we really have a desperate need for God. And the irony is sometimes when we feel like we've got it all together, we really need God more then because we are in danger of becoming prideful. But, I was thinking about this, about drowning. Do you know that most people, we have in our mind what drowning looks like? It's like I'm flailing and I'm screaming and I'm shouting for help. But do you know that's not the case? Most people that drown do so quietly. Did you know that? They just quietly fall beneath the surface. It's not a lot of commotion. And that's why it's so dangerous. That's why people drown so often, is because it's like a silent killer. There's other distractions, other noise and things, and then somebody's just quietly losing their strength. And I was thinking about that in relationship to this passage where he's talking about our weakness. And I believe all around us that there are people that are struggling and they're losing their strength and they don't want to acknowledge their weakness. They're afraid to call out for help. But they don't know how to call out for help. They don't know where to turn or what to do. And it could be that that's reality in your life today. Maybe you're dealing with some things that are just really dragging you down. And I want you to know that God promises us right here, his strength, his grace is sufficient. Call out to him. Call out to him. It's the greatest thing that we could do. He is the greatest help that we could ever receive. And you say, well, I did that and it didn't work. Don't let up. Call out to him. Come back to him. He hasn't left you. He hasn't forsaken you. He hasn't forgotten about you. His grace is powerful. It's sufficient. And it is made perfect in your weakness. So I want to encourage you today, the areas of your life where you feel weak, where you feel insufficient, where you have a desperate need, God knows and God cares. And God's given us his promises in his word, and his strength is made perfect. How do we receive that? We humbly call out. We humbly call out, and God meets us where we are. He comes to us. And I love that we as believers get to experience that, and then we get to offer it to other people. And so that's what I'm holding out to you today, that maybe you feel like you're ready to give up, but don't give up. We are people of hope. And God wants us to experience the power of His presence. And sometimes to do that, we have to call out to Him. He says that whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So that means from our sins, from His wrath, from judgment, God will save us. He will rescue us. He will redeem us. And when we call out to Him, but then also in our daily living, God enables us to go through things, difficulties, so that we are positioned so that we will call out to Him. And you, no matter where you are today, call out to the Lord and He will hear you. And then you know what else? It doesn't stop right there. He continues to empower you, to walk with you, and He's put you in a family of faith so that nobody has to fight alone, that we're all together. So calling out, we call out to Christ, we call out to Jesus, but then we call out to one another as well, because you have people that love you, and you have people that care about you, and everybody in this room needs to be reminded of that today. Now, I don't have another song that I've asked Jody to sing, but we do have a song of prayer and a song of commitment, which is He Leadeth Me. It's page 690. I'm going to pray for us, and then Jody's going to lead us as we sing this song of reflection, song of commitment. I just want to challenge you today. You don't have to fight on your own. His grace is sufficient. It's available to all who call out to Him. Maybe you're here today and you just need to call out to the Lord. Or maybe there's somebody else that you know that's going through a difficulty and you can lift them up in prayer today during this time. So let me pray and then we're going to stand and sing, He Leadeth Me. It's on page 690. Father God, we thank You for the powerful truth of Your Word. God, each and every page of it, each and every syllable is given for our betterment, for our instruction, for our understanding of You, Lord, and of the life that You have given us. And so, God, we just, Lord, appreciate this reminder straight from Your Word about the sufficiency of Your grace. Lord, that Your power is at work in us, through us, all around us. And some days we feel like we're just running out of fuel. God, I pray that we'd be recharged today, that we'd be refueled today for Your glory and for our good, for our betterment. God, we just humbly come before You. God, we just humbly come before You and ask that You would intervene in our lives, in our circumstances, in our difficulties, in our trials. God, that You would give us wisdom, that You would give us strength and endurance. God, that You would allow us to experience the fullness of Your love that You have for us in Your Son, Jesus Christ, and that You would restore to us the joy of our salvation. God, I pray today for those who are here that need to be lifted up. And God, You tell us in Your Word, humble yourself under God's mighty hand, and He will lift you up. So we humble ourselves before You today, God, acknowledging our dependence upon You, asking You to, Lord, just be glorified in our lives today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.